CD 5.
The back way led to a narrow path and a small gate in the wall. Dismembered wooden dummies and patches of scorched rock indicated that Q and his assistants often came this way. And then there was another path beside one of the many icy streamlets.
Q means well, said Lutze, walking fast, but if you listen to him, you end up clanking when you walk and exploding when you sit down.
Lobsang ran to keep up.
It'll take weeks to walk to Ankh Morpork, Sweeper.
We'll slice our way there, said Lutze, and he stopped and turned.
You think you can do that?
I've done it hundreds of times, Lobsang began.
In Oi Dong, yes, said Lutze, but there are all kinds of checks and safeguards in the valley.
Oh, didn't you know that? Slicing in Oi Dong is easy, lad. It's different out there. The air tries to get in the way. Do it wrong and the air is as a rock. You have to shape the slice around you so that you move like a fish in water. Know how to do that?
We learned a bit of the theory, but
Sotao said you stopped time for yourself back in the city. The Stance of the Coyote, it's called. Very hard to do. And I don't reckon they teach it in the Thieves Guild, eh?
I suppose I was lucky, Sweeper.
Good. Keep it up. We'll have plenty of time for you to practice before we leave the snow. Get it right before you tread on grass or kiss your feet goodbye.
They called it slicing time. There is a way of playing certain musical instruments that is called circular breathing, devised to allow people to play the didgeridoo or the bagpipes without actually imploding or being sucked down the tube. Slicing time was very much the same, except time was substituted for air, and it was a lot quieter. A trained monk could stretch a second further than an hour. But that wasn't enough. He'd be moving in a rigid world. He'd have to learn to see by echo light and hear by ghost sound and let time leech into his immediate universe. It wasn't hard once he found the confidence. The sliced world could almost seem normal, apart from the colours. It was like walking in sunsets. Although the sun was fixed high in the sky and barely moved, the world ahead shaded towards violet and the world behind, when Lobsang looked round, was the shade of old blood. And it was lonely. But the worst of it, Lobsang realised, was the silence. There was noise of a sort, but it was just a deep sizzle at the edge of hearing. His footsteps sounded strange and muffled, and the sound arrived in his ears out of sync with the tread of his feet. They reached the edge of the valley and stepped out of the perpetual springtime into the real world of the snows. Now the cold crept in slowly like a sadist's knife. Lutze strode on ahead, seemingly oblivious to it. Of course, that was one of the stories about him. Lutze, it was said, would walk for miles during weather when the clouds themselves would freeze and crash out of the sky. Cold did not affect him, they said. And yet, in the stories, Lutze had been bigger, stronger, not a skinny little bald man who preferred not to fight.
Sweeper!
Lutze stopped and turned. His outline blurred slightly, and Lobsang unwrapped himself from time. Colour came back into the world, and while the cold ceased to have the force of a drill, it still struck hard.
Yes, lad?
You're going to teach me, right?
If there's anything left you don't know, Wonder Boy, said Lutze dryly. You're slicing well, I can see that.
I don't know how you can stand this cold.
Ah, you don't know the secret.
Is it the way of Mrs. Cosmopolite that gives you such power?
Lutze hitched up his robe and did a little dance in the snow, revealing skinny legs encased in thick, yellowing tubes.
Very good, very good, he said. She still sends me these double-knit combinations, silk on the inside, then three layers of wool, reinforced gussets and a couple of handy trapdoors, very reasonably priced at $6 a pair because I'm an old customer. For it is written, wrap up warm or you'll catch your death.
It's just a trick.
Lutze looked surprised.
What?
He said.
Well, I mean, it's all tricks, isn't it? Everyone thinks you're a great hero, and you don't fight, and they think you possess all kinds of strange knowledge, and it's just tricking people, isn't it? Even the abbot. I thought you were going to teach me things worth knowing.
I've got her address, if that's what you want. If you mention my name... I see, you didn't mean that, right?
I don't want to be ungrateful, I just thought...
You thought I should use mysterious powers derived from a lifetime of study just to keep my legs warm, eh?
Well,
debase the sacred teachings for the sake of my knees, you think?
If you put it like that...